Hear the word of the Lord for our meditation this day. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word is truth, and we thank you, Lord, for the experience of Jesus' baptism. It is a prototype. It is, for us, an example of what you did today with Skylar, what you've done in our life. And we thank you, Lord, that you have given us this privilege. We ask, oh Lord, for your blessing now as we dig into your word and we realize how significant it is for us as your children. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. During this season of Epiphany, we're going to be looking at what-if questions. I don't know if you like what-if questions, but I absolutely hate what-if questions. I think it was because my first son was a what-if type person. What if this happened, or what if this didn't happen? And then his sister wasn't much better. But they ask these questions. And what-if questions are very difficult to answer, aren't they? How many of you like what-if questions? Some of you like them. Yes, I know. I knew there were people in the world like this. Yes, there are people who like what-if questions. I'm not one of them. But I wanted to look at what if things didn't happen like the Bible tells us they happened. For example, what if Jesus didn't fulfill all righteousness? What if he said, "I'm God"? Didn't he say that when he was 12 years old and his parents lost him in the temple? And they went back to Jerusalem and they spent 3 days searching for him. And when they found him, what did he say to them? "Didn't you know I'd be in my Father's house?" I think Jesus knew who he was. And when the time for a rabbi to start teaching and to start his ministry at 30 years of age, he could have simply said, "I ain't going down to the Jordan. I don't need this. I ain't getting wet in that muddy river. I'm the Messiah. Look at my name. Jesus, Savior, Christ, Messiah. Jesus the Christ. I'm the Messiah. Why do I need to go through this?" And if he was like one of us, he would have went down there and he would have heard John say, "You're wanting to be baptized by me? Your cousin? The one who leaped in my mother's womb when your mother's voice reached her ears? You, the Savior and the Messiah, want to be baptized by me?" Can you just think about John's ministry? Was it his ministry to call people to repentance? What do you need to have in order to be called to repentance? Sin. And what didn't Jesus have? Sin. The Bible tells over and over again, he was human, but without sin, right? So, think about this. John's baptism is baptism of repentance, and here comes Jesus. So John is just doing the reasonable thing, right? He's saying, you know, I've been telling people the one that's coming after me is one who, whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I can't even carry your shoes. Modern version, right? Sandals, flip-flops. I can't even carry them. I can't untie them. And you want to be baptized by me for a baptism of repentance, which you don't need? What if he said, "Yeah, you make a good point, John. I like your reasoning on this." Those people like what-if questions. Okay, here's your chance. What if? Angela, what if? You got to stop doodling. You might get asked, did you remember this from university? What if he did not fulfill all righteousness? What if he just said, okay, I'm good? Pardon me? No doves. Yeah. What else might he not? Might we not have experienced in the word? The cross. Well, his ministry starts with his baptism. He starts to call his disciples after they experience what happens to him when he comes out of the river, and he actually starts to go into the desert. Remember, he spends 40 days. I mean, there's another reason for not doing this. How many of you, if you knew you were going to be going to the desert for 40 days, would say, I'm good. Think about this for a second, right? See, in our modern culture, we kind of like to give the aura of thinking that we're getting advice, or we're getting, you know, we'll ask people for advice and we'll find the people who we like their advice. Ever notice this? Somebody says to us, well, I think the Lord's telling you to do this. You'll go to the next person. Right? No, you don't do that? Good for you. But isn't that the way? I mean, in my life, I'll never forget, I was working at planning a church with my friends. I'd go down during my vacation times, and that's many, many years ago, down to Colorado to help plant a church in the Vineyard movement back then. And I'll never forget that, you know, I had enough Bible school training that in the Vineyard church, I could have been a pastor. Because all I was required in that at that time, because of a very new movement, was that you had to have a Bible school degree, that you had to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you had to be willing to be mentored or discipled into leadership. And so I was looking at that, I'm going, And the Lord kept telling me through people and through the word and through prayer and through all these things, kept telling me, no, you need to go back into the Lutheran church. And I kept coming home and saying, arguing with him, because I had a degree that was not accredited. How many of you know what that means? It means it's not accepted by accredited institutions. So I had this degree, but it was absolutely worthless when it came to getting an MDiv, Master of Divinity. So I had this real hard decision to make, whether I wanted to go through 8 more years of school or go and do what I wanted to do. I'll never forget the moment when the Lord made it very clear to me that I was to do it. I did not like what I heard. I don't know if this ever happened to you, but when the Lord makes it very clear you're supposed to do something and you go, I don't like it. I'm not going to be comfortable with it. It isn't in my plan. I think this way would be better. And have you had those type of reactions? Yes. And yet, it's amazing when we submit to the Lord and are obedient, what the Lord does. How many have experienced that? When you finally surrender and say, okay, Lord, my life is yours. Do with me as you wish. And all of a sudden, everything changes. It doesn't necessarily mean it's easy, right? But things change. And you know you're in the right place. You're in that sweet spot where even though it's difficult, even though it's, I mean, it was 8 years of school, folks. Because you have to have an MDiv to be a pastor in the Lutheran church, right? And I'll never forget. I kept thinking to myself, am I nuts? But I knew it was the Lord's will. And so when Jesus had this opportunity to listen to his cousin and say, you're older than me, you're an elder, I ought to listen to you. When he said, you don't need to be baptized by me, you should baptize me. He could have said, yeah, sounds good. But he didn't. Why? Because when we're not obedient, when we're not raised to understand what we have in Christ, we're not raised to understand that we have a direct line to God through his word. We have a direct line to God through when we gather together as believers, right? Wherever two or more are gathered, I'm in there in the midst of them. Is that what the Lord says to us? We have his true presence in baptism and the Lord's Supper. I mean, aren't we blessed? And we have all this stuff. Yet many of us say, well, you know, it'd be easier if I could do it on my own. I like my plan better. I like to just kind of play it at being righteous on my own. Thank you very much. Because that's just part of human nature. We want to do it on our own. And that's why infant baptism is so confusing to a lot of people. They say the baby brings nothing. She couldn't even walk up here today. And I'm very proud as a grandfather. She couldn't walk up here today. She couldn't say anything. She couldn't really do anything besides receive what the Lord wanted to give her. And be cute. Yes, I must say. I'm not biased, but yeah. You're right. Thanks, Joanne. But really, I mean, isn't that a great example of how we ought to be? Right? We don't bring anything to the Lord. All of our works he looks at and goes, nice try. Right? None of our works are good enough. None of our righteousness is good enough. None of our stuff is good enough. Amen? We bring nothing to God. And yet through the waters of baptism, he receives us. And what was so important, the what if about this is, if he had not fulfilled all righteousness and had not gone into that muddy Jordan River and allowed God to do what he wanted to do, we would not have seen and experienced through God's word the power of the Trinity, right? For those of you who say, well, the Trinity is not really that important, what shows up in Jesus' baptism? The Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. All three. For those of you who've heard people say, because it's a Latin word, Trinity, right? It's not a Greek word. It's not Hebrew, so it wouldn't show up in the Bible because it's a Latin word. But some people say, well, I never heard of that Trinity stuff. You go, well, let me show you a picture. Jesus is obedient. He doesn't argue with John. He simply consents to fulfill all righteousness. He goes down into the water, and as soon as John baptizes him, what happens? Okay, but first, something happens before the Holy Spirit comes down. Okay, but even before that, the heavens are, and the Greek here is, torn open. In case somebody was missing it, he tore the heavens open. The Spirit comes down like a dove, and then God speaks. Now, just think about what we would have missed if Jesus had said, I'm good. Just think about what we would have missed. We would have missed what was prophesied in Isaiah 42, when Isaiah, whose name means the Lord saves, wrote about the chosen servant and how the Lord was going to give him his Spirit, how he's going to anoint him, and how he's going to do all these wonderful things. The people who were around wouldn't have figured out that it was Jesus if this hadn't happened, right? Isn't that amazing? God rips heaven open and he says in his voice, people should pay attention to this, right? When the Father speaks to the Son and pours out his Holy Spirit like a dove and says, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. I have this funny feeling that the people who were there listened. And I pray today, as we leave here today, that you not only listen, but you hear. Take it into your heart and into your mind that those words that he spoke, that God spoke to the Son coming out of the water with the anointing of the dove, are the same words that he speaks to us. Because in Romans 6, we didn't get to read it today, but in Romans 6 it says, we are baptized into Christ Jesus. We died with him, we rose again with him. We are made alive in him. Through our baptism, we receive the same thing that Jesus has. When God sees us, he doesn't see our sin. He doesn't see our failures. He doesn't see our own self-righteousness that we're working so hard on. Right? Who does he see? When God looks at us who are baptized into Christ Jesus, who does he see? He sees Jesus. Isn't that awesome? When God looks at us, he doesn't see our sin. He doesn't see our failures. He doesn't see all these things. He sees the name written on our forehead and upon our heart. He sees Jesus. That's why Satan hates us so much. Ever wondered why Satan works so hard on us? No? You never wondered about this? Well, that's true. But why does he work so hard on us? He doesn't want us to hear the truth, and he knows when God looks at us, He sees Jesus and he says the same thing to us that he said to Jesus. He says, you are my child, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. And he hates it. Satan hates it. Because if we know that, that's what Epiphany is all about, right? Having the truth manifest, having it revealed, having it made known. That's what Epiphany is all about. That's why the star going, leading the Magi to the manger. That's why this is so important, because God speaks the very truth. At the end of Epiphany, we'll have a transfiguration where he speaks it again. Because it's important, folks. Because when you know this and you live by it and you walk in it, Satan hates it. Your sinful nature needs to be drowned every day. Martin Luther said this. He said, what's important about baptism? You take that water and you drown the old Adam each and every day. Because you got to start new. Each and every day you drown the old Adam and you start afresh and you're made new and you begin again, because you will never be righteous on your own. It's only by the power of the Holy Spirit and Christ in us. Brothers and sisters, can we let Satan and the world know the truth of why Jesus fulfilled all righteousness and went down into the river that day? He went down into the river so that we could experience the truth of the heavens being ripped open, the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and God, his voice from heaven, speaking this truth. And can we say it together? You are my child, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. Can we say it again with meaning this time? You are my child, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. Next time Satan tempts you and says, you are a failure, you can't do it, you're not good enough, what are you going to say to him? I am a child of God, whom he loves, with whom he is well pleased. And see him scurry away. Actually, the Bible says flee. Can you do that? Can we leave here today covenanting together? Because this is a new covenant that Skylar received today. She brought into the new covenant through the waters of baptism. It's an amazing gift. Can we let the whole world know as we leave here today that the words that we hear God saying to Jesus as he comes out of the water, that he says to us in Christ Jesus, who are baptized in Christ Jesus, that this is a message for the whole world, for all nations, that as Isaiah said, we as children of the living God are lights to all nations. Can we go out from here and share this truth? Can we let everybody know that what? We are... Okay. Okay, I better lead this. No. Let's try it personally. You are a child of God whom he loves, with whom he is well pleased. You can say it in first person. I am a child of God whom he loves, with whom he is well pleased. Say it. I am a child of God whom he loves, with whom he is well pleased. If you go out and share that truth, God will do what he did at the River Jordan when we're faithful, and we know it's not up to us, but it's up to God, and we just go out and share the truth. He does amazing things. He wants to do amazing things, doesn't he? He wants to heal. He wants to do amazing things, and he wants to do it through you. So may you be faithful, knowing who you are, a child of the living God, whom he loves, with whom he is well pleased. Amen. Okay.